So today I have the honor and pleasure of interviewing one of my two assistant directors. Christina couldn't be with us, but if by chance she shows up, we could have her take a seat and be part of it as well. I decided after years and years of doing this that I needed two assistant directors to get myself through a show. And I've got some really good ones this year. So I want you to meet Curtis Honeycutt if you've never met him before. He's been a part of Grace Theater since 2014, usually on stage, and now this time in a very different role.
All right, so I thought that this was called Any Given Sunday, the podcast. I thought it was weird that you called me at like a church for a 1999 Al Pacino film.
Yeah,
and
no.
So I was getting my
Sundays mixed up.
My fictional fantasy football draft ready and getting ready to say I claim Bobby Boucher from The Waterboy first round.
Curtis, I think it's funny that you would think that I would ever have a podcast about football of any sort. But I'm glad you're here. I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
So tell me, first of all, what was your history with musical theater before doing your first show was 2014.
Les Mis.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So prior to that.
Yes.
I was in choir in high school, junior and senior year. And I think it was senior year. It was one of those situations where we need guys.
Yeah, of course.
And they twisted my arm into raising my hand. And so
I don't even
know if I auditioned.
Probably not.
I wasn't one of the leads. We did My Fair Lady.
Oh, I did that show. Fun.
I was.
You weren't.
I was on
Henry
stage.
Higgins.
I was on stage the whole time, but you know, as a Cockney, I was in the Cockney trio.
Yes.
I was one of the people in the house, like the house help. I was one of the barons at the horse race.
Yep.
Like I was on stage the whole time, and just like, whoa. But yeah, I like musicals, but I hadn't been in one since high school, which was my only one before we did Les Mis in 2014.
And Les Mis, you were pretty excited about Les Mis because the reason that I had, I don't remember even how many men I had in that show, but you rallied the troops.
Well, it was another one of those situations.
Yeah.
We need dudes.
Yes, exactly.
So
a lot of them.
We're like, you know, we're going to do, you know, these revolutionaries that have to die on the barricade every night. Going to be like 60 years old.
Yeah,
And even then we're going to have to drag them onto the barricade. And so, you know, I went through my phone and just texted everybody and people who were already in, I said, you text everybody. And we ended up having a good group of guys.
I think
guys.
We had probably 50 men in that show.
Yeah. And we died in slow motion.
Yes.
At least once per night.
At least.
It was so much fun.
It was so. So you did it and then you've done multiple shows since. What are the other shows that you've done at Grace since then?
So Les Mis, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, there's some of the pictures back there.
Little Mermaid and Joseph. The four that are on the wall.
Yes.
Over
oh, that's
here.
So funny. Yeah, because I didn't pick that for this specific thing.
It's been about every other. Mm-hmm. And what happens is the year that I'm off, that I'm not in, I watch it and I get, I don't know if you get FOMO. After the fact.
Yeah.
But
you can't.
I see all my friends up there. I'm like, oh, they're having so much fun and they're playing with an orchestra.
Yep.
And oh, that looks like fun. They get to wear that weird stuff. And so that's why I don't know if I can skip a year again.
So what did it give you? Like why after Les Mis did you think I gotta keep doing this? What about, was it something specific about musical theater or doing it here at Grace or both? Like what was it that you were like, I will give this kind of time to something?
Yeah. I feel like the people I connected with who were same age, younger, older, those relationships from 2014, that's 11 years, goodness.
I know.
Are still going strong, a lot of them. So it's, you know, people I look up to, people I'm buddies with, and people who are now leads in shows.
Right, right. Yes. It is crazy, like, to look back at some of the kids from 2014 that are now going on and doing.
Young Cosette was Anya Burke, and
yep.
she's
She's up in the Dells and doing
a professional actor, dancer, singer, triple threat.
Well, and we were talking, I think I talked about this with John and Sophie Osgood because they were on a previous podcast talking about their relationship and finding each other here really at Grace and through theater. But Jack Ducat, who was our
Gavroche,
is
and
now
Chip. Was he Chip?
He wasn't. Joey Miller was Chip. Sophie's little brother. But Jack was in Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
He did do Beauty and the Beast, and he is now the Buddy the Elf in the national tour of Elf. So it's really fun.
Amazing.
And tons of them. I mean, a bunch of those kids have gone on and been musical theater majors. John and Sophie themselves, like Brayton Wilds, like a lot of kids, Betsy Sandifer, like so many kids that we got to like witness the beginnings.
And I went to college and did religious studies. I should have done musical theater.
It's a little bit more fun than religious studies. Do you remember any specific moments from those first shows that you were like, I love what I'm doing. I love this. Like,
yeah. Well, I'll talk about Les Mis and then immediately get off it because it's too deep. Too fast.
Yeah.
During Les Mis, Carrie and I were in the process of adopting from Ghana.
That's
and
funny.
We ended up bringing Miles home the following spring. If the show was in November of 2014, we brought him home in 2015.
We were waiting
on a referral. And every night when Chris Wilburn sang Bring Him Home, as we were asleep on the barricade.
Yeah, right.
Ugh, I lost it every night.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like a prayer, a breath prayer.
Right.
And then when I came back and was in Beauty and the Beast, I got to be LeFou.
Mm-hmm.
And every night, Ephraim Owens, who played Gaston, Ephraim of The Voice.
Right.
And
all kinds of other things
and national anthems and stuff. He and I got to like hang out and just goof around. Mm-hmm. The whole time. And so while I would say it's interesting, depending on the role, you connect with different people.
Yeah, for sure.
And so if Les Mis, it was multiple people. Mm-hmm. Beauty and the Beast, mainly it was Ephraim and I hanging out. And we would go out like after rehearsal and sing karaoke, which is not really my thing.
Right.
But he's one of those guys who's fun to hang out with. And so we still keep in touch. And with Joseph last year, it was the brothers who I connected with. So really the performing is great. And what I think that's something that I think about first is performing because it's so much fun. And the way we get to do it on the scale and level of excellence that we get to do it is great. But I don't think that's the most important part. That's not the most gratifying part. It's the people you get to do it with.
Yeah. I don't think I'd ever heard that moment from Les Mis. I don't think I knew that story. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. You know, I get so caught up in the busyness of everything that's happening that I don't always hear like the personal moments that people have. I should probably ask that more often and hear those stories because that's really meaningful.
Yeah. I mean, I think if people, not that, you know, to the level that was pretty significant in my life, but I would guess that everyone has a version of that for themselves per show where there's a moment where, you know, if they have a pulse, they are feeling something or going through something and the show helps to transform them in a positive way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I even have those moments, not even being on stage. I have moments from each show that I will never forget. Moments that just hit me like, oh, wow, we did this. We did this together. I can't believe we made this happen. And then when it's all over, I'm like, I really can't believe we made this happen. Can we really do it again? So, okay. So now you've done 4 shows as an actor and this time you moved into a whole new role as assistant director. What compelled you to say, hey, because sometimes I kind of know who my assistant director should be. And this time around, actually both you and Christina were kind of like, I think I might want to try this, or I'd like to do a different role with the show than being in it. So that was new to me, and I was like, "Oh, that's exciting." So what was it that kind of?
It was less this first thing, but when we announced the show, I was like, "Okay, Wizard of Oz, love Wizard of Oz,
right, right."
watched it every year mm-hmm. on Thanksgiving night or whatever it was back in the 1900s.
Right. Exactly.
If we were doing Wicked, I would have gone out and wanted to be the wizard because I really like his role, not necessarily the Jeff Goldblum version, even though I love Jeff Goldblum, don't love him in the first movie.
You also could be Bach.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he's more puckish and young, and I that's not me. That's 2014 me.
Yeah, I guess maybe. Maybe I'm still living in 2014.
So part of it was, I don't know if there's anything exciting role-wise, which is selfish.
No, it's not. I do that all the time.
But the bigger part is because a relationship that grew out of last year for Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in 2024, Jordan Murray, who is one of the brothers with me, he was Reuben, I was Levi. I'm remembering our t-shirts from the end with our names on them. Jordan teaches at my kids' elementary school. He teaches music, and we connected, and our families and kids are around the same age, and so we hung out, and we decided in December, after the show was done, we need to work on another project, because we're just kind of bored. We're, trying to fill the void, the post-show void.
Right.
So
it's real.
So we started writing a musical, and as part of that, if he takes the lead on the music part, I kind of take the lead on the words part.
The story.
And so I really wanted to get, a free masterclass in directing. And no.
Thank you.
Look, I'm not getting paid. So right. I'm not right. like, there's right. no reason for me to right. suck up.
For sure.
But I wanted to get the perspective of putting a show together from the back end. Knowing the story, knowing the script, and bringing that to life, and watching you do that has been like incredibly valuable.
Yeah. What surprised you? What has surprised you about the process, or what do you think? I guess it's twofold. What surprised you? What do you think's been fun? What do you think's been really hard?
Welcome to your exit interview. We're ready to talk about what went well.
The hard stuff.
What did not go well.
I'm very self-aware of my weaknesses.
The fun part, I feel like I've had fun throughout. I'm trying to pinpoint the funnest.
Right.
I like huddling together after rehearsal and going, all right. How'd that go?
Worked well.
What do we need to focus on based on that? And that ability to pivot, even though there's a general structure of rehearsal week, and it builds to tech week, and then obviously performances. Seeing that process take place and being able to provide some input. I also liked... To an extent, I loved auditions.
Yeah.
Because you get to see people and just smile at their effort and or their talent.
Right, yeah.
better you than me going for that song, guys.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And see song choices and callback. Like, that was a blast. The other end of that coin, obviously, is... disappointing people and getting texts. What's interesting is I think because you're the top banana in this tree.
This pyramid. This pyramid scheme.
Exactly. A lot of people were coming to Christina and me, usually over text.
With saying, their disappointments.
Saying, why didn't I get the Lion Wizard Dorothy? Fill in the blank, right? Why didn't I get Winky number 4?
Right. And the pivotal role, Winky number 4.
Someone's got to pick up that broom and...
Exactly, and hand it over.
Clean up the mess.
Right.
Anyway, handling those conversations over the next couple days afterwards wasn't fun, but I was honest with people, and when it came down to it, I think this is probably true. Every year we could have cast
absolutely
three casts and have them all... really darn good versions of The Wizard of Oz.
The more we've grown, the more that's happening. The more our what we do, our reputation is out there, and people are like, it's good work. I want to be a part of it. So, you know, we had, what, 130 people audition for this show, and we cast 75. So you know that there's going to be people that just are disappointed.
Yeah, we were trying to talk you down to like 50.
I know.
And that number kept going this.
I know. I said somebody has to make me toe the line, but I did get it back up to 75. It wasn't 85 or 90.
Yeah.
So I did better. Yeah. I think this is better than most times. But yeah, I think as we've grown, we've definitely, has there been a part that's been hard? Like that's, you're like, oh, that overwhelms me, or.
Oh yeah. A lot of things overwhelm me. Amy, how much time do we have?
Yeah, exactly. Not just in life, like just for the
show. Oh, in this.
Yeah, just
this.
Specifically for the show.
Yeah, I think, it's been interesting, the shift from peer, being a peer to having some undefined level of influence, you know, as assistant director. It's like it can be undefined at some times. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's basically the job description is other duties as assigned.
Right.
That's the whole, that's the whole thing.
It really is. And I've tried so hard to pin it down. I just mean that in general. Every assistant director brings so many different strengths to the role. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you want to live into what they bring.
Yeah.
And it really is. I kept trying to say, okay, well, it really is assistant to the director. And I think it should be worded that way. Mm-hmm. As
assistant
opposed
to the
regional
manager.
Yeah, as opposed to assistant director. Because assistant director leads people to believe, oh, I get to do a lot of directing because I'm an assistant. When really, it is assistant to the director.
Yeah.
That's how it's defined in the theater world. You're just doing what the director can't do or doesn't have time to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, well, so the transition to, like, from, you know, a lot of people I've been a fellow actor
with
in the last couple of years, now where they're coming up to me, hey, how was that? Or I have to go to them and say, hey,
not good
about about those socks that you brought from home. Not going to work.
Right.
The only one who gets to wear the striped ones is the Wicked Witch of the East. And I think I've probably challenged you. I know I've challenged other members because I do want to. I'm an idea guy.
Sure.
I like to get my ideas out there.
Right.
And so, you know, while you're directing and giving direction, I don't even, like, sometimes I stand behind you, and other times I'm like, well, do this.
and
you're like, what? how about the other way? And at this point, you know, I don't work here, and so I don't have as much of a filter to, like.
Right.
But, you know, if I have an idea, I'm going to say something, or I'm going to text somebody and say, I've got an idea. And that's why there is paint drying on the crystal ball pedestal in my garage right now.
Right.
And I love it when people are just like, bro, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got a relationship in place where they can just be like,
sure,
thank you. That's, you know, I'll take it from here.
Thanks, but no thanks.
But yeah, I mean, part of the undefinedness of it and me wanting to go, I want this to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, it's already going to be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And the process we're in right now is taking it from excellent or way above average to, like, transcendent.
Yeah.
And I know that there are going to be certain moments.
Right.
But I think there can be even more.
Right.
And so trying to go, okay, what does Amy want? Mm-hmm. Like, I think she just wants it all to be joyful and, you know, instill that awe and the theme of there's no place like home, the story and everything. I'm just trying to anticipate that. And I want that. And so I think I've pushed a little too hard and people have just had been like, bro.
Right. Well,
cut it out.
I try to create a space where ideas can flow and I won't use all of them, but I'm always willing to hear them. And if it's a good idea, I will use it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not every idea is great. But if it's a better idea than mine, I'm going to use it. Like, yeah. I'm not afraid of other people being good or creative or, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's also been good to work side by side with Christina. I do have a peer.
Yes. Yes.
To go like, all right.
Right.
Take your foot off the gas, dude. Like Amy, that is like the bottom of the priority list right now.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That is good. Maybe two is a good thing because then you guys can talk about me.
Oh no, we would never,
never, ever talk about you. How do you think you're going to feel when all is said and done doing the assistant directing versus being in it? Will you have any FOMO this time?
Yeah, I will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's always this when, I was at a rehearsal last week, I was mostly sitting there watching him because Lori was running the four leads through choreography.
Right.
So I was just sitting on the couch watching them, and I watched as their camaraderie mm-hmm. was growing, and they were, you know, between working on stuff, they were talking about shows they grew up with. Now they're all 25, and so it was like,
right, they're, you know, babies,
kids stuff from the 2000s.
Right.
But I watched them connecting, and I was like, yeah, I miss yep. that. Mm-hmm. But I do think we do that. The artistic team has done that mm-hmm. throughout the way. But a lot of times the stakes feel
higher.
And yeah. so there's not necessarily as much time to let your hair down and joke around.
There isn't. I try to make sure that we do when it's all over, just for a brief moment to say we done good. We did a good job. This week, as we go into Tech Week, because that starts tonight, we will have a little bit of that because we'll be the last ones in the building and we'll be, you know, sorting through what worked, what do we have to get, you know, what has to be better. And you do feel a sense of like, okay, it's just us now. We can kind of be free and talk about all the things that aren't working well and all the things that are and what we need to do to get us to the point where, and I'll, you know me, I've said this over and over to every cast that I love to be on stage. It's my favorite place in the world to be. And I miss it a ton. I always have FOMO mm-hmm. because I'm the one, like you said, even with auditions, everyone's coming to you and Christina. I'm always the last one anyone comes to. So I feel
you're like in the eye of the hurricane.
Yeah. And I feel like I never get the camaraderie, not mm-hmm. even a little bit, because I always have to kind of live up here and, which is good and bad. But yeah, I don't know that you'll ever, if you love to be on stage, I don't know that any other role will ever quite feel like that.
Yeah. And I don't mean to like nitpick the process or my experience but I think just like when I've been an actor and, you know, I'll throw a bit in there, not necessarily selfish, but because I think it's going to make the scene better mm-hmm. without distracting from the script or the story or whatever.
Right, right.
I want it to be as good as it can be.
Right.
And I'm taking the same approach as an assistant director, like noticing things and going, you know, take a note.
Yeah.
So it's been awesome.
Good. I'm so glad. And I've loved having you and Christina. You guys have been an incredible team, not to mention all the work that you did to get sponsors for the mm-hmm. show. We've tripled any of our sponsorships from years past because of the incredible amount of work that you did. So it's been a joy. I've loved it. I think you and Christina, who should be sitting in the third chair, but she's not, have done a fantastic job and been a great team. And I could not have gotten through this process without the two of you. So I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
But I'll be happy to see you back on stage someday, too.
Words of affirmation are my
love language, and I did so want to say, when you were talking about your musical with Jordan, that's another thing, though, those are the moments, though, like talking about the kids that have gone on to do, those are the moments that I'm like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah, wouldn't have happened without this thing.
To watch all of these incredible other things come out of something that you got to be a part of, there's a lot of joy in that, mm-hmm. whether it's community or other projects or musical theater majors or kids doing Broadway tours. Yeah. Like it's really joyous to watch.
Well,
that
and
happen.
It was born out of like the void of having this amazing experience. because we were only doing one show a year, Amy.
I know.
Come on.
I know. We got to find a
Come
way
on.
To do
Come on. I
more.
Know we got to do church, but.
We do.
Like, church who cares what's in the background? If it's yeah. You know.
What could be the next one? I don't know.
South Pacific.
No. Sure. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of problems
Sweeney
in this
Todd.
Day and age. Sure. Yeah. I think people around here would love it. It's hysterical and very uplifting. Mm-hmm. Such a joyful show.
Yeah.
That's Sweeney Todd. Curtis,
you're going to change the subject, right?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I'm great.
Thanks for coming today and being interviewed, and thanks for all the work you've done.
Thanks for having me. What radio station is this on?
I think 97.1.
Cool.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Great. I look forward to hearing it.
Me too.